The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be for now, for it is proper for us in this time to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came out of the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning, and please be seated.
Good morning.
Baptism has been a problem. And it begins the problem today when we read when Jesus goes to John and asks John to be baptized. And the evangelists, the writers of the gospel, are all confused about why Jesus needs to come. After all, he is the Son of God, isn't he? And so Matthew is struggling with this issue of why Jesus comes to be baptized. And so in his gospel writing, you sense the difference, because in his writing, he has John object. He has John say to him, "Baptism, you're coming to me? I need to come to you." And this is also Matthew trying to express his, you know, consternation about what it means to be have Jesus baptized. And then so he gives them both kind of an out, because he has then Jesus say to John, "It's okay for now. Let it be so that we can fulfill the scriptures." But once we hear that, then we ask the question, why was Jesus baptized at all? I mean, isn't he the Son of God? And isn't he so pure? And what's going on? And all the Gospels, all the evangelists agree that when Jesus goes to be baptized, it's not so much to have his sins forgiven, because he is indeed the Son of God, but because he becomes commissioned. He becomes commissioned and he gains an identity. An identity in which he is confirmed as the Son of God. And Matthew makes it very dramatic. The skies open up. It's a very public event. I imagine everybody saw it. The dove comes down and the voice of God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So that's pretty nice, isn't it? But then even after we get these answers, we ask the question, well, what does baptism mean to us? Or why does it mean so little? And I say this only because a lot of people don't realize the importance of baptism. I get a kick out of when I do baptisms with family. And generally, some of the families get excited because of the baptism. You know, they bring the baby, we talk about it, make all kinds of plans. And it's usually one or the other parent who really doesn't know how much is going on in baptism, how important it really is. And so you get a sense that he's just trying to follow along, you know, and be present and being nice. And sometimes, you know, the baptism turns out to be really, really nice. But then if I were to ask all the parents here, do you wake up your child one morning and say, "Hey, Johnny, today's your baptism day, buddy"? How many of us do that? And we turn on a candle and say, "Let's have a little party, Johnny, because it was your baptism day." Nobody does that. Okay? Because we forget. We don't even know what day it is. And we give you a little candle, right? And the idea behind the candle that we give to you is that every day, every anniversary of your child that was baptized, you're supposed to light it. You're supposed to say a little prayer. You're supposed to, you know, and make it a nice, exciting thing. But the reason they don't is because somehow it doesn't resonate with their life. And this is why I think baptism has to be something that really is talked about much more often than it usually is. I mean, I'm talking about it in the sermon. We're going to mention it in the confession of faith. We're going to receive communion because we're baptized. We're going to be able to go out in the dismissal and try to proclaim the word of God to people, because we have been commissioned by God. And baptism by God has made us that way. We need to talk more about it, because I tell you the truth, if we don't get a sense of what it means to be baptized and see it as an identity that is given to you by God himself, because, you know, we are all children of God on whom and with whom God is pleased. And you must hear that and accept that as God speaking about you and about your life. But more than that, we have to see it as God giving you an identity. God is giving you the identity of a child of God, where nowhere else you're going to get that kind of identity. Oh, you can sure, you know, try to compete with the culture, and you can go into the culture and you can try to be affirmed by the culture, and certainly what you're going to get from the culture is, but if you do this, you'll be identified as such. And you can fill in the blank. If you're skinny enough, if you're young enough, if you're beautiful enough, if you have more power, money enough, if you have more fame, all of these things, they'll identify you if you have that. But the gospel is saying that you are a child of God because you have been sanctioned to be part of God. There's a book out by a friend of mine who recently passed away, Maurice Friedman, and it's called To Deny Your Nothingness. And in this book, he talks about our real sense of non-being, our real sense of valuelessness, and we clang on to all kinds of ideas in society, and we try to latch on and define ourselves by these things. And he mentions several of them. He speaks about the poet. He speaks about the absurdist. He speaks about identifying yourself as an existentialist, or somebody who's pragmatic, or somebody who is like prophetic, or somebody who is a socialist. You know, you see in our narratives, in our society, a place where you can plug in and say, there am I. We read literature, we experience the realities of the world, and we identify with them. We take it on. And we, by God, we play the role. But how many of you are living your own authentic life? How many of you are living from the base that you are a child of God, and that your mission is to heal the world, to love each other, to lift God's people, to lift God's verse, to lift God's will in the world? This is something that we have forgotten. We've given it up because we have chosen, perhaps, to identify ourselves by what the social environment is saying we should be identified as such. And there we lose our soul. There we lose our freedom. There we lose the ability to even wrestle with that reality that we're being identified with. We become pawns of that identification. We become slaves to it. We follow herd mentality, as Nietzsche would say, because we want to be something that everybody accepts. But we realize, we have to realize, that the identity that we get from God really is the better identity. Isn't that what the soul longs for? Isn't that what Augustine says? He says we long and we do and search out in so many ways for things, but we find no rest until we find it in you. Until I know that God is affirming me, that God is giving me not only permission, but pushing me out of the nest so I can live my life and be authentic, but an authentic witness of the goodness of God in this world, the reality of God in this world, the truth of God's presence in this world. We live artificial lives. We live by rules of other people. We live by models given to us. We live by traditions and paradigms and, you know, parables that have been given to us. And we merely live our lives. We yearn because we haven't been set free to stake our own sense and speak our own words and do our own actions. And this is what God is giving us. This is when he says, you are my beloved son. I think of psychological studies that teach us when the child feels good about mommy or daddy being around, that child can get up and explore the world. Sometimes you say, Johnny, not so far. Johnny, come back here. You know? Because he's gonna dare. And have we lost our dare? Because we feel insecure in our identity? We feel insecure with whom we belong to? Or we're afraid at the root? We have an anxiety of our being? We have an anxiety about life? Because we're not rooted in truth. We're rooted in some temporal identification. And so the gospel today is saying baptism is something that is important for you. It is the foundation of who you are and all you can become. And we've got to take it seriously. We've got to celebrate it. We've got to honor it. We've got to practice it. And we've got to proclaim it. It's very hard to do that because you have to daily fall in love with God, daily fall in love with this reality, daily accept the fact that you are a unique, created being, that only you can be in this world. We can be anybody else we want. We can imitate each other, and we do by God. Do you remember in the 50s and 60s, you know, when the beatniks first came out? Long hair, long t-shirt. Tie-dye shirts. Remember all of that? I hope you do. You don't remember. You're too young. Everybody wanted to be a beatnik in New York City. And you know, I was one of them. I had the long hair. You know, when I had hair. Really hair. And I thought it was so cool because I thought I was like so individual. Right? I was just like everybody else, man. I looked just like the guy next door. And I had this feeling, wow, I'm really cool, you know? And so, these are things that happen in society, but that's not what the gospel is asking you to do. It's not asking you to be like anybody else. It's not asking you to think like anybody else or to talk like anybody else. It's asking you to try it on your own. Because only you can respond, I love you, back to God from where you are. You cannot respond to those words. When God says, where are you? Do you remember the story of Adam and Eve? Adam had just eaten the apple because Eve made him do that. Talking about passing the buck, right? So he feels alienated from God. He knows he did something wrong. And so he tries to hide himself. And then God says, Adam, where are you? Like God didn't know, right? God knows where Adam is. But Adam didn't know where he was. He had lost his compass. He had lost that North Star. He had lost that relationship with God, that certainty, that groundedness that God gives you, that you know that you know that you're in God's hands. And he lost that. And so when God says, where are you? He was confused. He was confused. He didn't know where. Where are you in your life? Are you living out the patterns that are given to you? Are you just mimicking the social constructs? Now you're middle-aged, you're supposed to do this. Now you're a senior, do this, will you, by God? Or can you experiment with your life? Can you still be creative? Can you still be challenging? Can you still be prophetic? Can you still question things? You know, your faith is strong enough to question. Your faith indeed begs you to question so that you can wrestle with it and come out with something new and fresh. Not just to put it on like a harness. Faith is not a harness that we wear and we follow like everybody else does. It is an invitation to be creative, to dare your life in God's love and God's spaciousness. So baptism today is a reminder of that. Baptism today is telling us that God has said, you are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. And please step out in the world, because it's a commission. A commission to what? A commission to life. And in that life, you find God. And in that life that you find God, you live in relationship with God and others. You're not being called to take on a role. You're not being called to be an actor in the world. You know, many people come to religion because they are searching for meaning in life, and they forget that there's an experience of life. Which is what we want. We want an experience. We are embodied creatures that know and feel and want to feel the passions and all of the disturbances of being a man or a woman, because they lead us into new realities, into new depths. We want to sanitize it with clarity and reason. We want to be able to point it and say, this is the way it is and nobody else is right. When you do that, you become as phony as anybody else. Why not step into the plenitude of God's welcome and live from the center of your life and celebrate the baptism that God has given you to say, you are mine. You're enough. That's another one. You're never enough in this world. You are never enough. You never have enough, right? I mean, you never have enough goods. You never have enough deodorant or dandruff, you know, preventive, you know, or you don't have enough money, or you don't have enough clothing. I mean, we're in a world that we never have enough. And so we're always trying to catch up to the meter, always trying to catch up, make ourselves, you know, just like everybody else. But God says today, you're enough. Patricia, you're enough. Who will ever tell you that, that you're enough? That I love you just because you're enough. And you're okay. Where do you get that? Not in this world. You don't get that in the corporate world. You don't get that in the advertisement world. You don't get that in the business world at all. No, you're never good enough there. You got to work. You got to give up. You practically have to sell your soul to be good enough. And then maybe you are. But in the church where we tell you you're good enough, we don't even accept it. To us, it's like, hey, what a platitude. You have to own that. This is the power of the gospel, that you are good enough in God's eyes, that he calls you his son and his daughter and sets you free among the world that lives in illusions and a world that lives by platitudes, and be able to stand and speak truth to power about what it means to be a son and daughter of God. This is what it means. He's setting you free. And this community, we have several cats. I call this a community of cats. Could never gather anybody here together for one idea, man. It's like, you know, herding cats, you got to run around. Imagine being set free. Set free. So if you take anything away from the baptism today, is that you're enough. You truly are. And God begins with you there. And God accepts you for who you are. And whatever you've done, it's the part of baptism is so wonderful, because it's all washed away. You know, it's a rite of a passage. You move from one state of being into another state of being. You become one new creature. You are redeemed by the power of God. There's another baptism I'll throw out that you may not remember. The second baptism. Does anyone know what the second baptism is? It's a baptism of... Yes. No. Well, okay. Okay. I'm not going to... But there's another one. The one I mean is the baptism of blood. You ever hear that? The baptism of martyrdom. You remember that? Where you were baptized into the body of Christ, but then you were baptized into heaven when you were destroyed as a martyr. That's the second baptism, the baptism of blood. But we're talking about the baptism of water and of life. And God is giving us permission to live that life. My God, don't let the rest of the world take it away from you. Don't let the rest of the world cheat you out of it. And don't let the rest of the world define it for you. Remember, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Amen.